It is well, it is well with my soul.
Do that one more time. That sounded beautiful.
It is well, it is well with my soul, with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
Beautiful. How many can say it is well with your soul this morning? Thank you. Brother Mark.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for coming to the Victory Bible class. Welcome today. Good to see you. Leroy, I wanted to ask, do you have a volume control on that jacket? It's on low. Got it. All right, so let's move on. Anniversaries and birthdays, shall we? Oh, man. All right, birthdays coming up this week. Man, we've got a bunch. Let's see. Looks like Monday, Nikki Garber. Next day, Sharon Harmon. A couple more days, Sheila Ball, Dwayne Martin, Jason Tigner. And man, this guy, woo, Mark Randolph. I got to get some age on him, man. All right, any other birthdays? I've just owned mine. All right, any others? Come on. We miss any birthdays? Nobody? All right, anniversaries. Anniversaries. We've got the Johnsons, the Burses, and the Magnuses. All right, so happy anniversary to you guys. Any anniversaries did we miss? Did we miss any? All right, well, I talked about my anniversary last week, and I know you guys were thinking I would blow it because I did that once before. I did not. I came through with flying colors. So I just want to report that. And, you all help me out here. Even though this may seem trite and rather common and so forth, all ladies seem to enjoy getting candy and
flowers.
So I bought a very nice bag of Martha White flour, and my friends worked well. So I had it covered. I graded out at an A+. All right, one more announcement here, and I don't have the prayer list with me. You guys okay if I walk back there and get it? Everybody cool? All right. While I'm walking back here, I'll make the next announcement, which is the Christmas float is not done, and Mr. Kyle needs some help with it. Oops, grab that one. So what he needs is an idea, somebody who can come up with the ideas to put this thing together. This is for the Gray Parade that comes up in first week of December, I believe. And then to try to help build this thing. So he has the trailer. He needs some brain power and somebody who can kind of swing a hammer and cut some paper. And so I don't know. I'm not an idea man. And yeah, I'm not the guy. But Kyle needs some help in this area. All right. So if you can help Kyle out with the Christmas float, please do that. Let me read the prayer list off. Let's see here. We got Mike McConnell with a heart cath. I guess that's coming up this week. Is that right? Or
it's today.
Yes. Today. All right. So Mike's having a heart cath today. I know the let's see, Larry and Diana are in Georgia at a fair, so they'll be there a couple of weeks, I believe, so we'll remember them. Angie Hensley with COVID. Yeah, we're not hearing of a lot of people having COVID now, but it's still around, so keep washing your hands and keep them out of your face as much as you can. All those precautions we used to do, keep doing them. Richard Wampler, liver and kidney failure. That's all I have here. I don't know if Richard's in the hospital or if this is just, Yes. Oh, yes.
He's been in the hospital for almost 2 weeks.
Okay. So Richard has some very serious health problems right now. You guys heard that, all right? So we'll remember Richard. And let's see. Gabe Archival is okay. Yes, okay, good, all right. And Skylar Delfino is over COVID. That's your great-granddaughter, right? Okay, good, all right. All right, any other prayer requests or changes or anything to the prayer list, please go back to the back table and you can update that and we'll get it on there. And John chapter 9, we'll look at John chapter 9 verse 2 again. And I'm going to go ahead and open up in prayer and then we will proceed to John 9 for just a moment. That'll be our verse of the day. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your blessings to us and thank you for your goodness. And I thank you for giving us this time each week when we can meet together and we can study around your word and we can be with one another, be an encouragement, hopefully, to each other. We can share the things on our hearts in the form of prayer request. And so we just give you thanks for all your goodness to us. Thank you for dying on the cross for us, making a way of salvation so that sinful man and the perfect God could be reconciled one to another. And thank you for doing that for us. And thank you for loving us and guiding us. Thank you for working in our lives. Now you've heard some prayer requests that I've read off. And we've got some serious health conditions. Mike's getting a procedure done right now. Richard in the hospital with some serious health conditions. And I want to remember the galleons in Georgia at this fair booth. And many other things that I did not read out that are on our prayer list and heavy on our hearts. And we bring them before you, Lord. Ask you to meet those needs as only you can, to give peace where it's needed, comfort where it's needed, to give encouragement where it's needed, to give correction where it's needed, give healing where it's needed. So bless the rest of our time here together. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, John chapter 9, verse 2. I want to talk just briefly and see if we can get a little bit out of this, something about prayer. So as I was thinking about prayer, technically in this verse, we would not call this a prayer, but the disciples here did come to Jesus and they're interacting with Jesus. So on one sense, I think there's some level here we can get some things about prayer from this. So let's read the verse. It says, "And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" So they are interacting with Jesus. So as I was thinking about prayer, all of us are at some level of prayer. And what I'm going to give you is a way I thought about sort of dividing prayer up into maybe different components, different levels. And this is certainly not the only way you could do it, but it's just something for us to think about because one of the components occurs here in this verse. So the first component of prayer is zero, no prayer. We just don't pray. So that's what I would ask you to start out with. Do you pray? Do you pray at all? Or are you at that zero point? A lot of people are there. Well, the next thing that I thought of is moving on, progressing towards where we need to be in prayer. So zero would be we're not praying at all. But progressing along to where we know we should be and where we need to be would be this. I'm sure all of you know what happened at Crockett High School this past Friday. And I was there. I saw this happen. And it's still living in my mind. I'm not over it. It's it was just a tragic thing. All I can tell you is if you weren't there, I'm glad you weren't. But there's a point where there was a public prayer made. Nobody really knew what to do, but we had a time when there was a moment of silence. Those are pretty common. You see those in sporting events. Except this moment of silence lasted probably at least 5 minutes. Might have been even longer. And there was some prayer going on during that time. And I know I was praying. I looked around. I saw a lot of people praying. But it dawned on me, there's probably a probability that God was hearing from some of the people there for the first time in a very long time. So my second phase of prayer, if we want to call it that, is, okay, we're past the zero point, we do pray, but do we only call on the Lord when something goes completely off the rails and we really need His help? As long as everything's going okay, we're kind of at that zero point. So that's my second thought about prayer. So we're trying to figure out where are we. Our third level, if we will, is something we find here in verse 2, something that our friends the disciples did. Now, we could say, well, this level is actually pretty good, you know, and kind of where we need to be. See, the disciples had this thing figured out, and what they needed was buy-in from Jesus. So it's always good, and if you'll notice in the verse here, they gave Jesus a couple of options. And I think it's always good when we pray that we give God options. It's always a good thing. See, when we go to the Lord in prayer, if we can get everything figured out beforehand, He doesn't have to waste His time flipping a coin or whatever it is He does to determine His perfect will. He just gets to buy into what we have already figured out. You know, it just dawned on me, if this is being broadcast audio only, I should probably say, I'm holding up a sarcasm sign, just in case. For the video guys, here you go. Yes, that was sarcasm. But do we sometimes go to the Lord in prayer that we already have it figured out what we want, and we need Him buying in on it? Do we sometimes do that? And that's what we find the disciples doing. They gave Jesus options. They already had it figured out. They just needed Him to kind of get on the same page with them. And then there's that level of prayer where we go to the Lord. So we are praying. We're not at the zero point. Our frequency is good. We're not calling on the Lord only when there's some tragic event, like maybe what happened Friday night. We're not praying, giving God options. Like, we've already got it all figured out. We need His buy-in. We go to the Lord with our life as an open book. And we say, Lord, here's a need, or here's something I need some direction in. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I don't know. I need some help. But my life is open to what You want to do through me, or do in me, or how You want to lead me. I would love to say that that's the level I am at in prayer. But I'm actually more with the disciples here in verse 2, leaning towards that level of being more open and not having it all figured out. But I'm just not there. I wish I was spiritual enough to stand up here and say that's where I am. I'm more into the John 9 verse 2. Because I do pray. I pray often. And I pray sincerely. But I'm afraid a lot of times we get stuck having our life pretty well figured out, and we just need God to kind of get on board with us. So there's some levels of prayer to consider as Brother Dan comes to finish out our lesson today. Certainly we could, I mean, each one of you could come up with all kinds of different levels, different ways to look at this. This was just something I saw here out of verse 2, and hopefully this will be an encouragement. If you're at the zero level, please just start praying. Even if it's not completely right, start praying. Start praying, okay? We've got lots of things to pray for. We really do. If we don't think we do, we're really deceived. So that's just some thoughts on prayer. Next week we'll get into verse 3 and see what we have there. Mr. Dan.
Get that. We're continuing our lesson on the fullness of the Spirit, or the filling with the Spirit. We defined the filling with the Spirit as we lay down the groundwork how that every believer, if you have Christ in your heart, you have been given a gift of the permanent indwelling of the Spirit of God, that third part of the Holy Divinity that dwells in you. And we defined being filled with, or being having the filling with the Spirit, as a conscious, constant, and complete surrender to God's will. Along with that, a dependence upon the Spirit's power to live the Christian life for the purpose of producing fruit of souls, Acts 1:8, the fruit of empowered ministry, Acts 4:31, the fruit of victory over temptation, Galatians 5:16, and the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, which we've talked about how that the fruit of the Spirit, it's not fruits that you beg God for, it's not fruits that you strive to produce in your life. The fruit of the Spirit, literally, fruit in this case, means the evidence of the fact that you have the Spirit that is in you. So fruit, meaning if you are walking in the Spirit, there will be evidence that your life will produce love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance, meekness, kindness. When you are not walking in the Spirit that dwells in you, you're not walking in the Spirit, you're not going to see that fruit being portrayed in your life. If I'm walking around the house and I'm acting like a bear, I'm angry, then I am not walking in the Spirit, because the Spirit does not produce that kind of evidence or fruit. I'm walking in my flesh. I'm doing what I want to do. I'm mad about something, or I'm upset, I'm growly, I'm tired. And so that fruit is flesh fruit. Okay? And it's super simple, not very complicated. You can tell. That's why the Bible says, by their fruit ye shall know them. You can tell when he's walking in the flesh, ladies. And you can tell when she is walking in the flesh, men. You can tell. The fruit of the Spirit will not be evident. It'll be far from that. So we're talking about the filling with the Spirit. We looked at the nature, the conditions of the fullness of the Spirit. We also talked about how that it is total dependence on His power, in that we're seeking or thirsting after it. We're believing that what we have is in fact the case. And we're trusting entirely on what He can do in our life. That brought us to the blessings of the fullness of the Spirit. And there are many. There are many blessings of the fullness of the Spirit. We talked about how that blessing number one is a supernatural victory over the desires of our flesh. When I say supernatural, that word is chosen on purpose. Supernatural in the sense that it's not something, victory over the flesh is not something that you nor I can conjure up. We can't work this up, victory over our flesh. You do not have what it takes to conquer your flesh. You say, well, I'm going to, with God's help, I'm going to, no, actually, He's going to do it all by Himself without your help. And that's where you have to have that total dependence upon the power of the Spirit in your life to be able to get that, and then it's a supernatural victory over the desires of our flesh. We looked at Galatians 5 that said, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So you're walking in the Spirit. It's like oil and water. If you're walking in the Spirit, It's not possible to fulfill the lusts or the desires of your flesh if you're walking in the Spirit. Now, if you're walking in the flesh, then you can produce those desires of the flesh. If you're walking in the Spirit, it will not happen. We also saw the verse in Ephesians. I'll get to that later. All right, so we get to number two, a number two blessing, supernatural joy for singing. We talked about that. And be not drunk with wine, wherein there's excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody where? In your heart, to whom? To the Lord. In your heart, to the Lord. Fullness of spirit produces blessings in your own personal life. And one of those blessings is a joy in your heart, and that joy produces singing. Singing is of God, okay? Singing is of the Lord. It's very interesting. Anytime, and I used to read a lot of history books and biographies, specifically about wartime and prisoners of war. And it was very interesting that just about every different war, whenever they would capture a prisoner, no matter what side they were on, solitary confinement was the worst punishment that they can do, and total silence. And it would mess with people's brain. It messed with their emotions. It totally would break them down. We are people that need to interact one with another. We need to talk. We need to sing. We need to. That's how God designed us. And spirit fullness brings about singing in your heart to the Lord. It's a beautiful thing. Number three, we have a supernatural spirit of thankfulness when we're full of the Spirit. A supernatural spirit of thankfulness. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20 says, giving thanks always. Giving thanks always for all things unto whom? Unto God. Unto God. There's a thanksgiving in our heart. That ties in with prayer in that in Philippians chapter 4, it says if we'll bring our requests and our supplications and our prayers to the Lord with thanksgiving, then what he does, he doesn't say he's going to answer the prayer, but what he does say is he's going to give us his peace, his peace. So you have a supernatural spirit of thankfulness. Number four, how many have been around folks that are not thankful? It is unpleasant to be around somebody that is unthankful. They usually have a negative spirit. They're not pleasant to be around. It will bring you down every time. If you hang out with a person that they see something negative in everything, it drags you down. Somebody that's negative is not a thankful person. Meaning, if they're saved, meaning they're not walking in the Spirit, because the Spirit does not produce unthankfulness. The Spirit does not produce that. The Spirit produces thanksgiving. Number four, one of the blessings is a supernatural spirit. And I'm going to say this word, and it's going to drive a few folks nuts, but that's okay. A supernatural spirit of submission. We don't like that word. Sometimes it carries such a negative connotation, but in Scripture, submission is a beautiful thing. The supernatural spirit of submission to others, husbands, parents, employers, and all God-ordained authority. You say, Brother Dan, what wagon did you fall off to find this? Ephesians chapter 5. We'll go right to the source. Ephesians 5 and verse 18 says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, semicolon, meaning the thought continues, but be filled with the Spirit. And there's another semicolon, and it continues. Now, I know that in your Bible and in my Bible, there's little divisions and subtitles and all this good stuff, and they've chosen some liberties to separate things out and everything, but the thought continues. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, semicolon. Submitting yourselves one to another. So ladies, I know I mentioned husbands or submitting to your husbands, but ladies, before the Bible says that wives should submit to their own husband, it says that we should both submit one to another. If you're married, the Bible says you are one. It's like you're the same person. So there's not a dictatorship going on. Okay? There is a pecking order, if you would, that God designed. It's God, the man, the woman, the children, and women, ladies. You want that. You know why? Because that head position comes with responsibility that you don't necessarily want. That man will give account to God for how that family was run. Okay? That's biblical. And you don't want that. You want to pawn that off on him. Let him get in trouble. Fine. Have your way. Okay? So, the concept and the idea here is if we can look at these verses in their context, when we are filled with the Spirit, that automatically produces a spirit of thanksgiving. It produces a song in our heart to the Lord. It produces a spirit of thanksgiving. It also causes us to submit one to another in the fear of God. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Spirit fullness produces this, where the wives will submit themselves to their... And the Bible's very specific, and it never leaves out a word when it means to put in a word to your own husband. Okay? Very important. That means that Brother Dan, he's not to be telling other husbands' wives what they're going to do or not do. It doesn't matter if I'm an assistant pastor at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church or not. I have no business. And I try to be careful about that as we approach folks to ask them to do things around here, around the church and different activities and stuff. I'm very careful. Many times you've noticed that I will make a point to go to their husband first. That's not my wife. I have no control. I have no control. I have no authority. You say, well, biblical authority. No, the pastor has the biblical authority to preach the word and pray and care for the soul. Has no business as a pastor telling you what you're going to do in your home. And I'll just lay that out there, and you hold me to that. You hold me to that. I have no business telling your family, your wife, what you're going to do. That's you and God. There's an order on purpose. So we're Spirit-filled. Boy, it got really quiet in here. I'm so sorry. Goodness. You would think that would be a happy thing, but anyway. So we're Spirit-filled. We're speaking to ourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. There's a song in our heart. There's a skip in your step. And there's thanksgiving that's going on because you're full of the Spirit. You're submitting one to another because you're full of the Spirit. And notice that it always calls for submission one to another before it starts divvying it out. Before it talks about wives submitting to their own husbands, it says submit one to another. Before it talks about men loving their wives as they do their own flesh. And we love our flesh, don't we? Before it talks about, and the thought continues even into chapter 6, where children are supposed to obey their parents. Before that obedience, you find submission one to another. When it's, and the thought here is, it's so much easier, it flows better when I'm walking in the Spirit. I can submit myself one to another to Carmen in our marriage. If she wants to put the sofa in front of the door and I have to hop over it in order to get in the house, she has her reasons, right? Or I can walk around it, okay? It's easy if I'm walking in the Spirit, it's easy for me to say, yeah, whatever. You say, well, don't you care? Yeah, I care. I care to have a happy marriage. Happy wife, happy life, you know? No, I'm just teasing. But it goes hand in hand with that. And she'll do the same thing. If she's walking in the Spirit, then it will be easy for her. It flows. Out of a heart of love for God, it just flows for her to submit to whatever I might feel that God would have us do. And many times she's used the term, if you are sure that God wants you to do that, fine, let's do it. And of course, that puts a lot of pressure on a guy, because you have to make sure that that's exactly what God wanted you to do. And you have to decipher within you whether this is flesh talking or is this actually what God wants me to do. I've drug her a lot of places under the scope of God would have us do that. And every time I did and she submitted, things have gone amazingly wonderful. I took her from 30 years in the same place, same church, same store, same gas station, same people, and I have drug her all over the place. I didn't drag her. She came voluntarily, but... But when God led us, she said, if God told you, I'm for it. And off we went. And she would literally pack up, let's go. It didn't matter what it meant, what it entailed, what all the details were. If God said do it, she's followed me to do it. And guess what? There's been blessing because of that. And she has reaped blessing personally. There's things that God has done specifically for her and her alone. When that happens, there's blessing in that. So there's a supernatural spirit of submission to others. It's easy to submit when you're walking in the Spirit. Number five, there is a supernatural love in marriage. That's obvious, and we've read that, verse 25 through 33 here in Ephesians chapter 5. You'll see that supernatural love. It's not love that me, as a human man, can muster up. Because you know that sometimes we have the romance of a fence post. You know, most guys do. And that's why women love Hallmark, you know, because it's not real life. It's all pretend, you know. And they're hoping that if they have that Hallmark movie rolling, that the husband will come through and he'll get an idea or two. But that even just goes right over our heads. All right? It has to be a supernatural love. Those that are in this room that have been married for any length of time, and a good length of time, will tell you. It sounds funny sometimes, but it's true. Like that guy that... his wife says, honey, do you love me? And she says, yeah. He says, yes, of course I love you. He says, well, you don't ever tell me you love me. He said, 25 years ago I told you I love you. If anything changes, I'll let you know. You know? But if I were to ask those who have been married for many, many, many years here in this room, do you doubt that your husband loves you? Most would say, no, I don't doubt for 1 minute. And he's not a lovey-dovey type, you know, show outward emotion in public places. He's not that kind of a guy. But you don't doubt that he loves you. When you're walking in the Spirit, there's a supernatural love that stirs up in your heart, and you and your spouse will know that. That is, if you're walking in the Spirit. I love it. Number six, the supernatural love of Christ for God, for believers, you have to have supernatural love of Christ for God and for believers. Why? Have you looked around this room to some of the characters that we have sitting in here? We are all extra special at times, okay? And we can be difficult to get along with, and in a body, in the body of Christ, in order for there to be unity, something else has to take place, and that is the love of Christ for God and for other believers kicks in when we're walking in the Spirit. Remember, we talked about in our series that we're teaching on Sunday nights about the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit were given to the body of Christ, and one of the primary purposes is for the unity of the body. For the body to be able to function as a unit, there has to be that unity. And that unity is through the Holy Spirit of God. And that unity comes about by a supernatural love that is extended to us or through us when we're Spirit-filled. So love of Christ for God, for believers, for the lost. The lost aren't necessarily very lovable. They attack at times. They're mean at times. They don't get it. They don't get what we do. They don't get why we do what we do. Because the God of this world has blinded the eyes of their understanding. They don't see it. So that requires a supernatural love for the lost and for all men. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5 talks about that. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, the Bible says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts." By whom? By the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So you have a supernatural love of Christ for God and others. Number 7, supernatural leadership by the Holy Spirit. Right there in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. The Bible says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." So as you're Spirit-filled, you're going to be led by the Spirit. That is listening to that still, small voice. Sometimes we look at others and we tend to be a little bit jealous when we look at other Christians, and making decisions, like life decisions, seems apparently easy or simple in other Christians' lives. And it's not that it's simple or it's hard, it's just that some have learned the art of being Spirit-filled, something that every believer has, and then by being Spirit-filled, there's that leadership of the Holy Spirit that is guiding and directing them. And so that is something to strive for. What? To the leadership of the Spirit? No, the fullness of the Spirit. Be Spirit-filled, and then the Spirit is going to let you know certain things. I describe it like this, and this is a poor vocalization or description. I don't do a good job in this, but it's almost like having another conscience, and it's a spirit conscience. And the Spirit will tell me, "Hey, this person you need to talk to." Example, we had a bus driver this week on our Oasis trip. And this bus driver, obviously, she does not know Christ as her Savior. And inside of me, I'm thinking, man, she needs to be saved. She needs to be saved. When does she need to be saved? Yesterday. Okay? We have her the whole week. And one would think, because this is how humans think. One would think, well, you've got a whole week. You better get after it, especially because you're the assistant pastor of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, for crying out loud. By cracky. Right? And so there is that inward thought and process going on in my heart and in my mind, which I believe both are the same. The Bible says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." All right? So I'm thinking, okay, Spirit, when's the time? You know when the time was? When we exited at the gray exit on Friday. Well, that ain't hardly enough time, Dan. That's what the Spirit said. And the conversation opened. And next thing you know, she was like totally open to what we had to say. Not before. Partly due to the fact that she had a job to do. And if she's driving, you don't talk to her. You want her to concentrate. Because she's got a group of 27 people that's rolling down the road at 70 miles an hour. And so, you know, you got to use your spiritual brain too. And so that was the time. Why? Because the Spirit said that. And I depend upon that, the leadership of the Spirit. Nor am I going to guilt myself and beat myself up for not speaking to her earlier on in the week. Why? Because the Spirit didn't give me that freedom to do that. That's His job. That's not my job. That's on Him, not on me. There's a freedom in being Spirit-filled. There's a freedom in that. You say, well, Brother Dan, you're just getting rid of the responsibility. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. In fact, it's more responsibility, and the responsibility lies in the fact that each and every one of us, as we walk in the Spirit, are to be sensitive to the voice of the Spirit of God in our heart. It's more responsibility, actually. Because, do you know you can drive people away from God? We've seen it happen. You can be so belligerent, and you can be so forceful, and so determined, that you can force people to just throw up the wall, speak to the hand, not listening. Or you can let the Spirit marinate their heart. She was listening to Him playing. We had somebody shared brought some CD discs that were playing the entire week. There's 3 or 4 discs of 100 or more hymns. She heard. She sensed, and she commented on the peace that there was and how calm and nice it was in the group and all this stuff like that. So the Holy Spirit was marinating that heart long before we even decided to do something. All right, we got time for one more. Number 8, supernatural power and boldness for witnessing. Acts 1:8 says this, "But ye shall receive power when, after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and then ye shall be witnesses unto me," it says, "both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth." Acts 4:31 says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God," how? "With boldness." I've experienced that. Many of you have experienced that exact same thing. And you don't know where it came from. You're like, man, I didn't realize. And the Holy Spirit of God will bring verses to your mind, to your remembrance, that you never thought that you knew. And there's a boldness that comes with it when you're being led by the Spirit. So you're walking in the Spirit, you're being directed and led by the Spirit, you're showing God's love in the Spirit, and there's a boldness that comes with that, that I don't care what they say, when it's the right time, the Spirit's leading, you speak, that's the time to speak. That's where the boldness comes, and it's a beautiful thing. And you can stare at literally stare at Satan right in the face. And there's times that we do, and it does not matter, because you have the Spirit of God. You've got God Spirit in you. Amen? All right, that's all we have time for right now. We're continuing on. We still have, there's a total of 16 different blessings that we're going to share about being filled with the Spirit. I'm looking forward to that. Listen, tonight, we are going to cover a lot of ground tonight. I would recommend you come and get in on tonight's. We're going to speak about the gifts of the Spirit. We are going to cover gift number 5 through gift number 21. Don't ask me how. With God's help, it'll happen. All right? Let's pray. Father, we love you. Holy Spirit of God, thank you for your presence. Thank you for your fullness. Thank you for your leadership. Please use us now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.